Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Catskill regions. The misinformation and disinformation about vaccines has been on the rise, particularly since Robert F. Kennedy Jr. assumed the position of Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Trump administration. KFF is a nonprofit health policy research, polling, and news organization that recently conducted a national poll to look at whether the public has embraced myths about vaccines that really are based on this misinformation. And here to talk with us about the findings from this national poll is Alex Montero. He is senior survey analyst for public opinion and survey research at KFF. And I want to welcome Alex Montero to Health Cetera in the Catskills. Thank you for joining us today, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start with a little bit of context about why KFF did this poll.
Yeah, so a lot of the findings we'll be talking about today come from our tracking poll on health information and trust. This is a poll where we sort of regularly track things like sources of health information, who the public trusts for health information, exposure to and belief in false health claims, views on vaccines, and other topics like that. And so part of this work is aimed at both tracking the spread of false or unproven health claims and also seeing how this belief can be tied to behaviors or vice versa.
So tell us about how you conducted the poll. Who'd you sample?
Yeah, so like all KFF polls, this was a nationally representative survey of U.S. adults conducted in May of this year.
And how did you do the poll? Did you do it by phone?
The survey was conducted both online and by phone. It is a probability-based sample, and it's conducted in two languages, in both English and Spanish.
Oh, that's interesting. Good. And so you asked about certain myths about vaccines. Tell us what those myths were. These are views that are not correct. I want to emphasize this.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this survey, we asked about four common vaccine myths, all of which, you know, to varying degrees have been around for some time. So that includes one, the false claim that the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines, also known as the MMR vaccines, have been proven to cause autism in children, that the measles vaccines are more dangerous than becoming infected with measles. The myth that the more people have died from the COVID-19 vaccines than from the virus itself, and then that mRNA vaccines can change your DNA. Just for context, you know, mRNA is a vaccine technology relied upon by many of the COVID-19 vaccines. And I would just add that this is not the first time we've measured exposure to or belief in these myths. Most of these we've been asking about going back as far as about 2023. Mm. And then, you know, as you said, I would just add that these are all claims that are not backed up by current established science.
Yes. So, and the reason why I'm emphasizing that these are myths, these are not true, and saying that repeatedly is because we know that people, when they hear a myth, they will retain it as truth sometimes. So we want to emphasize that these myths are not true. And we have evidence to back that up. So, Alex, tell us about what you found with these four myths.
Yeah, so overall, we looked at both exposure, so, you know, how many people have read or heard them, and then also belief. So, you know, whether people think they're definitely true, probably false, or definitely false. And just to be clear, you know, when we look at belief, we are still measuring this among all U.S. adults, right? So we're not looking at belief just among those who have heard them. So we're looking at, you know, the share of the public who have heard them and the share of the public who believe them. So when we look at exposure, exposure to these myths varies. In most cases, it has remained kind of fairly steady over time. So, for example, you know, most people, about two-thirds of the public, have heard the myth that MMR vaccines cause autism in children. And this really actually hasn't shifted much in the past 3 years. The other myths are somewhat less prevalent to varying degrees. Fewer than half of adults have heard them. So, for instance, about 3 in 10 have heard this myth that measles vaccines are more dangerous than measles. Exposure to this myth has, again, similarly not changed much over the past year. But for this myth, this is actually one where we did see the share who have heard it nearly double between 2024 and 2025, which I think is just evidence that for some of these false claims, they can become more prevalent over time, at least in terms of how many people have heard them. And so beyond exposure, when it comes to belief, as we pretty consistently found in our polling, ardent belief in these myths is pretty uncommon. So just between 3% and 8% of adults say they are definitely true. Far more people are on the side of the truth, so about between 3 in 10 and 4 in 10 say these myths are definitely false. That's, of course, still less than half of the public. And at the same time, what that leaves is at least half of adults, and in some cases most adults, who express some uncertainty. They say the myths are either probably true or probably false. And they fall into this category that we oftentimes kind of call the malleable middle. So that's all to say, across these myths, uncertainty is far more common than belief. And just as maybe a specific example, if we look at the myth that MMR vaccines have been proven to cause autism, while just 4% of adults think this is definitely true, most people, about 6 in 10, express some uncertainty, again saying it's either probably true or probably false.
I have to say that I was encouraged that there was not a higher percentage of people who said that it was definitely true. These myths are definitely true. In fact, I believe the highest percentage was around people, which actually surprised me. More people have died from the COVID-19 vaccines than have died from the COVID-19 virus, which it's clear is not true. And yet you had a higher percentage of definitely true on that one. And that sort of surprised me, given that the measles issue has been in the press. And, were you surprised by having the higher percentage land on the COVID vaccines for definitely true?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. For that myth that the COVID-19 vaccines, more people have died from the vaccines than the virus itself, we have about 8% of the public saying that this is definitely true. That, ostensibly is a bit higher than the other ones. It still is a smaller share of the public. One thing I'd kind of add for context on that, though, is, in our polling, we pretty consistently see that the COVID-19 vaccines are more divisive than these kind of routine vaccines that have been around for a long time, like MMR and polio. When we look at, for instance, confidence in the safety of vaccines for children, the public's a bit more divided on COVID-19 vaccines, especially bipartisanship. And so I think these vaccines and myths related to them and topics related to COVID-19 vaccines, for that reason, that may be playing a part here, right? People's views on vaccines are not consistent across them, right? As I said, we tend to see a little more confidence when it comes to these long-running vaccines, whereas COVID-19 ones are, a bit more divisive. There's been a lot of talk about them since the onset of the pandemic.
Remind us when this poll was conducted.
This poll was conducted in May of this year, so between May 7th and 31st.
So that's interesting because certainly measles has been getting a lot of attention people not getting the vaccine as much as they shouldn't. We see outbreaks because of that. So the myth that the measles vaccine is more dangerous than becoming infected with the measles, I'm glad that it's a smaller percentage here of people who say that's definitely true. Now, you also looked at some factors that may influence people's responses to this or be related or associated with people's responses to the questions. Speak about those factors.
Yeah, so I think two of the main things we found specifically in this survey were that lacking a trusted healthcare provider was tied to belief in these myths, as was frequent use of social media and AI chatbots for health information. So when we look at people who say they don't have a healthcare provider they trust to answer questions about their health. To be clear, this is about 1 in 6 adults, so 1 in 6 people say they don't have a healthcare provider or doctor in their life who they trust to answer questions. these people are much more likely to believe these myths than people who have a trusted provider in their life. So as one example, if we look at that myth that COVID-19 vaccines killed more people than the virus, nearly half of adults who don't have a trusted provider say this is definitely or probably true. So they kind of believe or lean towards believing this myth. That share drops to just under a quarter among people who have a trusted doctor in their life. And, you know, for context, I'd add that our polling has pretty consistently shown that healthcare providers are one of the most trusted health information sources among the public. And so what I think these latest findings show is just how lacking such a trusted source is connected to a willingness to believe these myths, which, you know, further underscores the role healthcare providers can play in this respect. One thing I would just add on that note is that, you know, lacking a trusted healthcare provider in your life could be due to a number of factors. One, the people who say they don't have a trusted doctor in their life are much more likely to be uninsured than those who do. So access and affordability are certainly playing a role here. At the same time, lacking a trusted healthcare provider could also be due to a lack in trust in doctors more broadly, right? So that could be playing a role here too. We can't specifically disaggregate how much each one is playing a role, but access and affordability, but also a lack of trust in doctors could, you know, are playing a part here to some extent. And then lastly, you know, we also found that belief in these myths was more common among people who are frequently using social media and AI chatbots for health information. So the people who are turning to these platforms for health advice on at least a weekly basis are more likely to say most of these myths are definitely or probably true. And one thing I would just add on that too, we can't necessarily prove causality with this, right? So for some people, it may be the case that frequent use of social media has exposed them to and kind of made them come to believe some of these myths, but the inverse could also be true, right? So for instance, a person who already believes myths about vaccines, they might just be more likely to be turning to, for instance, AI chatbots for health information rather than maybe more kind of official sources. So we can't necessarily say there's a causality here. You know, it could be going in either direction. And then just one more thing I'd add to that, you know, we do see that partisanship plays a role here too. That's something we've pretty consistently found in our polling related to vaccines. Republicans are more likely than Democrats to believe or lean towards believing these myths.
Now, Alex, did you say that, you had done this poll in 2024?
We've asked most of these myths going back to actually 2023 to varying degrees. You know, for instance, the mRNA myth, we don't have as long of a trend on that, but like the myth that the MMR vaccines have been proven to cause autism, we've actually asked that four times going back all the way to June of 2023.
And how has that changed over time?
It's a really good question. You know, big picture, we actually haven't seen major shifts on any of these myths. So if we look at that myth that the MMR vaccines have been proven to cause autism, pretty much all of the responses have remained relatively stable over the last 3 years. We haven't seen a major shift in the share who say it's definitely false. We haven't seen a major shift in the share who say it's definitely true. And kind of big picture narrative, we've just consistently seen that most adults are falling in this kind of malleable middle category, saying that it's either probably true or probably false.
Now, one of the issues with any research is the representativeness of the sample. How confident are you that this sample is representative of the broad American public?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the surveys that we conduct at KFF are, as I said earlier, probability-based samples that are as a nationally representative survey of U.S. adults. There's, on all surveys, of course, a margin of error, you know, plus or minus a few percentage points. But based off of our methods, we're definitely confident that this is an accurate representation of U.S. adults' beliefs. And again, you know, this is a nationally representative sample. I think for anyone who's kind of interested in the nitty-gritty of the specific methods and how the survey is conducted, at KFF, we post our detailed methodology for all the surveys we conduct online, publicly available to all. We're very kind of transparent about these methods, so I think if any of your listeners are kind of interested in seeing all the specifics that go into making sure this is representative, how we weight all of the demographics to make sure that they match the U.S.'s demographics, those can be found in our top line for the survey.
And how do they see the survey? How do they access it?
Yeah, so all of KFF's work is posted publicly online. It's free to all. Our website is simple. It's kff.org. This latest survey is, again, as I said earlier, our tracking poll on health information and trust. Should be quite easy to find online. I would also add that we actually have a new health information and trust polling dashboard on our website as well, which kind of aggregates all of our work in this area more broadly. So, you know, we've asked about a bunch of different false health claims beyond just vaccine myths, other work in this area, and that's all kind of combined into one dashboard on our website too. So if anyone's interested in this type of work, I would definitely recommend taking a look at that.
So what do you see as the key takeaways for the public in terms of the findings in this poll?
I think the main takeaway, and you know, it's not even just from this poll, but a lot of our polling looking at belief in false or unproven health claims, is that, again, uncertainty is far more common than ardent belief. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not currently in a place where large shares of the public are hardcore believers in these health myths. Mm-hmm. Where much of the public is landing is more so on the side of uncertainty. At the same time, though, this uncertainty and confusion could still be playing a part in people's behaviors. When we look at parents who are skipping or delaying vaccines for their children, many of them are expressing uncertainty across these myths. These parents who are skipping or delaying vaccines are certainly more likely to believe these myths, but actually larger shares of them are expressing uncertainty. And so even though we see that many people aren't ardent believers, you know, there's still a connection between this uncertainty and behaviors like that. And again, you know, when we look at the longer-term trends on these myths going back, we haven't seen a ton of movement on this, and a good chunk of the public is kind of continuing to fall in this kind of malleable middle category.
So I think it just underscores the importance of having a healthcare provider who you trust. It may not be a physician, it may be a nurse practitioner, particularly in rural areas such as ours, or physician assistants. You know, if you don't have a relationship with a primary care provider, I encourage you to establish one you know, develop a relationship and you know, my finding, Alex, is that when I trust my primary care provider, I listen to them very carefully. I mean, I do my own research. I as a nurse myself, you know, I'm a bit of a tough patient. But when I respect that provider, I really pay close attention, and we often come to some agreement about how to proceed. Even if I walked in with, I was dead set against doing something, I listen carefully, and we talk through what are the pros, what are the cons, and that's what you should be able to do with any primary care provider. So it's really interesting work. Again, if people would like to learn more about KFF or to look at this poll or more information around this misinformation that may be out there, how can they do so?
Yeah, all of this is available on our website, kff.org. And again, this latest poll comes from our tracking poll on health information and trust.
And we should just say KFF used to stand for Kaiser Family Foundation, but it's now KFF only. And a lot of people were confused by a lot of Kaiser entities out here. And I think KFF wanted to make sure that it was clearly identifiable as this nonprofit research, polling, and policy organization. So thank you very much for coming on to HealthCetera in the Catskills today. I've been talking with Alex Montero, Senior Survey Analyst for Public Opinion and Survey Research at KFF. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thanks for having me.